Indeed, how firm a foundation the Lord has given to us in His Word. This is the most secure thing that we have in the world, His holy Word. Now, the text for tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we are going to read verses 23 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. This is in page 1219 of your pew Bibles. Also, at the same time, I will ask you to have your Trinity Psalter hymnals open in page 884 as we consider tonight Lord's Day 28. And we are going to be talking about the Lord's Supper. And this is perfect timing because on Friday we are going to have the opportunity and the privilege to come to the Lord's Supper and to celebrate that. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Now, congregation of the Lord, let me start tonight's sermon with a question. What do you believe concerning the Lord's Supper? Because you see, there are many ideas out there rounding around, talking about what we should believe concerning the Lord's Supper. And this is nothing new. For example, in October 1st through October 4th and 1529, there was a meeting called the Marburg Colloquy. I don't know if I pronounced that word correctly. But in summary, this is just a meeting. A meeting that wanted to unite Protestant states so they can be stronger and make an alliance. Now, the problem was that in order to be united, the Protestant reformers wanted to also have a doctrinal agreement. So they gathered Luther, Zwingli, Brenz, Agricola, Bucer, Ocolampadius, Osiander, and other great Protestant theologians in that meeting. Now, one of the highest disputes of that meeting was, guess what? The Lord's Supper. And it's interesting because on the one hand, Luther was there, and it says that it is narrated to us that he was so obfuscated, so mad with the people there, that he was hitting the table all the time saying, "I am the bread, I am the bread." So for Luther, Christ and his body was present, physically present in the supper. Not in the Roman Catholic sense that make basically the bread and the wine the real body and the real blood of Christ, but nonetheless present, physically present. On the other hand, Zwingli, he was contending and refuting Luther, saying that the body of Christ cannot be present there because the body of Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. And how can it be that Christ being 100% or truly human can be in two places at the time? So for Zwingli, then, in the Lord's Supper, we have only a remembrance, a reminder, no more. And in both cases, we need to recognize that they were trying to be faithful to the language that is presented to us here in the Scriptures. In the end, the meeting didn't reach agreement, and that divided the Protestant countries. Now, maybe you are wondering now, okay, Christian, so what? Who was right and who was wrong? And what do we believe concerning the Lord's Supper? And the Heidelberg Catechism, stepping into this discussion, gives to us a very balanced doctrine of the Lord's Supper that does justice to what Scripture presents and what we should believe concerning the Lord's Supper. And the sacrament avoids simplistic explanations, but also avoids speculation. And in order to explain what the Lord's Supper is, you will see that the Heidelberg takes three Lord's Days. So it starts in Lord's Day 28 and then follows in 29 and finishes in Lord's Day 30. So the authors of the Heidelberg take three Lord's Days, and they present what the sacrament represents to us, and then they affirm what the sacrament is in Lord's Day 29, and thirdly, they deny the errors concerning the Lord's Supper. So tonight we are going to see the first part concerning what the sacrament points to us and concerning what the sacrament represents to God's people. And we just need to read the Heidelberg, and a brief reading will show to us that the Heidelberg is actually speaking about the Lord's Supper as a visual spiritual sign. And if you see your bulletins, congregation, that is precisely the theme of my sermon: the Lord's Supper as a visible spiritual sign. Now, we need to ask, how is this so? What does that mean? And where is the promise on this? And to these questions, the Heidelberg replies to us in three headings, and the three questions. In question 75, the Heidelberg says, the Lord's Supper is a visible spiritual sign that reminds to us Christ's sacrifice. In question 76, the Lord's Supper is a visible spiritual sign that points to us a spiritual reality. And in 77, that gives to us hope. So we have 3 points tonight: that reminds us to Christ's sacrifice, points to us a spiritual reality, and gives to us hope. 3 points. Question 75, 76, and 77. Let us see then our first point: that reminds to us Christ's sacrifice. And I call your attention to you so you can read with me verses 24 and 25. Listen to this, to what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he's talking about Jesus, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." 25, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So as you can see in these two verses, Paul is saying to the Corinthian church that the Lord has commanded them to celebrate the supper. And he says twice, the Lord said, do this, in verse 24 and in verse 25. So we need to understand first that we celebrate the Lord's Supper because the Lord has commanded it to us. Now, this may be obvious, but sometimes many people confuse this. We don't do this because we feel it right. We do this because the Bible says so, because Christ has instituted this for us. And notice that the Heidelberg also takes this approach. In question 75, the Heidelberg says, "Christ has commanded me on all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in remembrance of him." In other words, every Christian should participate of it. It is not optional. It is not something that we should do if we feel good or if we feel holy enough. If I'm fine, then I'm coming to the service. If not, then maybe I should ignore it. That is not so. We should understand, congregation, that we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we approach to the supper not because of us, not because how we feel, not because how we behave. True, there is a place to repentance. But it's not because we feel holy and not because we feel super saints that we come to the Lord, but because it's a special gift from the Lord to us. And just let me remind you of this. We are welcome to His table. This is a gift for you. The Lord has not rejected you. And this is super interesting to me to find that there are Christians that kind of want to give super testimony and kind of behave super well before coming to the supper. And although holy living is worthy of seeking, it's not because of what we do. It's more something that the Lord has done for us. It's something that the Lord has given to us so we can celebrate what the Lord has instituted for us. It's not an award, in other words. Now, the question that I came with when I was reading the Heidelberg and these words in the Bible, I was thinking, why? Why has the Lord given this to us? And the Heidelberg remarks, first, as surely as I see, and second, as surely as I receive. And the Heidelberg is saying that something is being communicated to us when we see and when we receive. Now, maybe an example of this may be clarifying for you. One week ago, my wife had to go to Ecuador, and my daughter was, okay, I'm going to be with my dad. Now what? And she asked to my wife, where are you going, mommy? And she says, to Ecuador. But I will be back in 7 days. Now, as you know, my daughter is still small, so she cannot do the math. Okay, 7 days is this many hours. Since she cannot do that because she's still small, my wife had an idea. She printed out a calendar with 7 days, and on the first day, she put in a sticker. And on the last day, she put another sticker. So on the first day, she said, this is the day mommy is leaving. And on the last day, she said, this is the day mommy is coming back. And the task of my daughter was, every single day, coming before the fridge, grabbing a sticker and put it in the empty slot. So as the day were passing through, she was able to see how the calendar and the 7 weeks were fulfilling. And this helped my daughter to visualize and to have an aid to understand, oh, mommy is coming back soon. Oh, I don't have so many days to wait. And in the same way, congregation, the Lord knows. We are so small. We are so weak. Even when we try to remember, even when we try to do hard, we forget. And we have crises of faith, and we have difficulties to portray this reality in our minds. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows our frailty. So He left us this visual aid. So we can remember. So we can see and feel. And as you feel and see, you remember, wow, the Lord died for me. It's more real than this bread. It's more real than this cup. So let me ask you, how many times have you had a crisis of faith? How many times have you wondered, am I really safe? Because I don't feel it like it. Sometimes I don't obey the Lord as I should. Am I really safe? The Lord's Supper is perfect for those occasions because, as the Catechism says, as sure as I see, as sure as I eat, the bread that is in my mouth, the wine that is in my mouth, that feels so real, communicates to me that his death was even more real. His sacrifice for me is even more real. So I'm really saved. So I am really forgiven. If I can feel this, then my spiritual reality is even more real than that. And just think of this, congregation. Think in the phrases I'm going to mention to you. He has saved you. Your identity is in Christ. You are His. You belong to Him. His sacrifice was effective for your sins. He will never leave you. And you are safe in His hands. No matter how you feel, that is true. And when you eat and when you drink, all of that is conveyed in the Lord's Supper. All of that is what the Lord's Supper should remind you when you eat and drink. It's the Lord's way of saying, look and remember, all of this I have done for you. And by the way, this should be an encouragement for you boys and girls, because this should say to you, I want to do my profession of faith. I cannot wait. I really want to. That's amazing. Because you know what? Christ accepts you as nobody else will do. And that's super wonderful news. I am accepted in Christ. Now, I'm not that old, so I remember when I was a teenager, and I remember having crises of, what should I do? Nobody loves me. Oh, my mom loves me. And again, oh, nobody loves me again. But then, oh, wow, Jesus loves me. And He accepts me. And nobody who rejects me, He will never do. I am in His hands. And what amazing opportunity to look forward to that day. I will profess my faith. I want Christ as He wants me. I can't wait. I really want to. So remember that. It's an amazing opportunity to look forward to that day in which you will have the opportunity to share and eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. Now, also let me give you an important advice for the rest of you. Every single time that you come to the table, every single time that you see what is happening here, talk to your kids. Teach them. And yeah, I know it can be bothering if we talk at the same time and the service is going on. But if you talk slowly and with a loud voice, hey, listen, this we do because Christ died for us. Is that real? It's even more real. And talk to your kids after the service. Do you understand what we did today? This we do because of Christ. This is an excellent practice to teach about the sacrifice of Christ, to remember our kids. Jesus died. And as more we practice, it's even better. Now, this leads us to our second point, question 76. And let me ask you, congregation, is the Lord's Supper merely a reminder? Is that all that it is? Is something that we just do because we like to remember? Well, this simplistic idea of the sacrament is very pervasive today. We can find this kind of idea in every Christian church almost that is not Reformed. And contrary to that, we need to have a robust understanding of what the Lord's Supper is, so we can avoid unbiblical ideas or ideas who are not biblical. Just an example, just ask anyone outside of a Reformed church, what is the Lord's Supper for you? And you can find lots of different answers. For example, many will say, oh, it's a remembrance. So do you celebrate? Once a year or every 2 years. Oh, no, we change that for a machine of smoke and lights. Or you can find the other reaction. Yeah, everything is a sacrament. There is even a pastor that said, everything is a sacrament. If you walk out your dog, that's a sacrament. And that's a silly idea. It's ridiculous. Walking your dog out is not a sacrament. And this is nothing new, congregation. The Anabaptists had the very same low view of the sacrament. They ignore it. They ignore the Word of God. They ignore the Lord's Supper. And they grew bored of it. And they replaced with something else. They replaced it with something else. Something more entertaining. Something more exciting. But what strikes me the most is that many people today ask, so why should we have a robust idea of the sacrament? Why should we bother? I mean, God loves us. Isn't that enough? Isn't that sufficient? But the answer to that question, and why should we bother, is because the Bible says so. And if we take seriously the Bible, and if we take the Bible as the Word of God, then we should be very concerned about what the Bible says and about what the Bible teaches about the Lord's Supper. We want to be faithful, and we want to represent the Lord's Supper fairly, as much as we can. So that's why when we come to question 76, the Catechism saves our minds from a simplistic idea of the sacraments, from a simplistic doctrine of the sacraments. And the Catechism analyzes certain phrases that we can find in the Bible concerning the sacrament, and depicts the Lord's Supper and show to us the Lord's Supper in a very more complex way than simply remembering. Sure, it is remembering. We read that in 75, but it's more than that. It's much more than that. And, for example, look with me at question 76. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and in this way, to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now hear this. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we are forever live on, and we forever live on, and are governed by one spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. Now, answering to the doctrine of Luther and the doctrine of Roman Catholicism, the Reformed Confession says, yes, Christ is present, but not in his body, because his body is at the right hand of the Father, but through his Spirit. And he is, every single time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, present in the middle of us through his Spirit. Now, according to the Heidelberg, God has promised spiritual blessings that go with the Lord's Supper. That is, God blesses us in a very special way. What are those two things? He promised to unite us more and more to Christ, and to sanctify us more and more for him. Now, concerning our union with Christ, he says, we are united, the Catechism says, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. This is a language that the Catechism has taken from John 6:50-54. Let me read it for you. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, says Jesus, that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. So in other words, when we believe Christ, when we first put our faith in him, we were spiritually eating of his flesh, drinking his blood. And that means we are being made participants of his sacrifice, as Reverend Marcus said this morning, when God sees you, he sees Christ. And it's like Christ has put his clothes on you. So when God sees you, he doesn't see he doesn't see his dirty clothes anymore. He sees you clean, shiny, new. So you have been made participant of Christ. And this we need to understand in an eternal way, in the sense that from now on, we belong to Him. We are justified. There is nothing that can take us from His hand. But what about right now? What about our lifetime? We don't see our life from the eternity, from the eternal standing point. That is when the Lord's Supper comes. And in the sense of our sanctification, in the sense of our walking through this life for the Lord, the Lord's Supper comes, and the Holy Spirit, through the Lord's Supper, strengthens our faith, make us a little bit more strong, a little bit more Christ-like, moving us toward the direction of living for Him. It's like we have Christ's clothes over us, and every single time that the Lord blesses us through the supper, His clothes fit to us better and better and better. You see, this benefit for us is in the sense of our sanctification. When we don't feel like it, when we don't feel that we are with Christ, then the Lord's Supper comes and spiritually unites us more to Christ. We are covered by Him. We are protected by Him. And this reality, this spiritual reality, is conveyed to us in the Lord's Supper. Also, the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us that we forever live on, and we are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. So what the Heidelberg is saying here, in other words, is you are united with Christ, you are being one with Christ, and that you will show. You will show by your obedience. You will show by your living in faith. Now, that means that obedience to the Lord is no longer a burden. It's no longer a difficult task. But it's our delight. We want to say thank you. We want to say I love you. Therefore, we live for Him. And when we fail, and when we sin, which is our reality, then the Lord assures us through the Lord's Supper and give us grace that when our faith is becoming dry, that when we are falling, put us back in place. And we advance a little bit more. Maybe not a big step. Maybe not even a giant step. Maybe a baby step. But the Spirit does it through the Lord's Supper. Our will is moved a little bit more to desire more and more the will of the Father. And therefore, we come from, oh, I don't want to obey the Lord, to, no, I want to try. No, I want a little bit more. No, Father, it's my will. I want to follow you. I want to align myself under your will. And that is why when we miss the Lord's Supper, when we don't come to celebrate this, we miss so much. We lose so much of that blessing, so much of the grace of God. Because this Lord's Supper, congregation, is a visible spiritual sign. He strengthens us. He helps us. He, the term fits the case, He humidifies our faith. When it's dry, then we find strength again. Now, we can come to our third point. The Lord's Supper is a visible spiritual sign that gives us hope. And here, in question 77, we find the Bible verse that we read tonight. But also we find a very interesting question. Where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood, as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup? In other words, what the Heidelberg is asking you and me is, tell me, believer in Christ, is this doctrine a biblical one? Can you understand this from the Bible? And this is a very important question, because we can have the best doctrines in the world and very charitable and very nice and super sweet, but if they are not supported by the Bible, then it's a lie. And then we are making up our own doctrines. That is why, since the Heidelberg is concerned by this fact, concerned to represent the Bible fairly, they quote these two verses. The first one is the one we read. The second one, let me read to you. This promise is repeated by Paul in these words. The cup of the blessing that we bless, it is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, it is not a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Now, the first verse then talks to us about the visual reminder that assures that Christ has done something in our favor. In other words, the first Bible verse that the Catechism cites is the verse that talked to us, look at this. This the Lord has done for you. The second is the Bible verse that reminds to us, this is not only a remembrance, this is something more. I am blessing you in a very special way. I am uniting you to me. It's Christ doing this through his Spirit. Now, what called my attention in these two verses is that maybe when we read this and when we read Paul in 1 Corinthians, maybe we are ignoring the words of verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This means, congregation, that we have an eschatological promise here. Now, maybe you are saying, Christian, speak in English to me, don't speak in Spanish. Let me explain you. This is a term that means future, the last things. And what I'm saying is no other than Paul is saying to us that in the Lord's Supper, when we eat and when we partake and drink, we are saying also, come, Lord Jesus. Please don't delay anymore. Come. And there are certain reasons to think that that is the case. Let me just tie for you or unite for you several of the verses that we have read tonight. We have read 1 Corinthians 11, and we have read also John 6. And it's very interesting that Jesus in John 6 is saying, I am the real bread of the heaven. So every single time that Israel was in the wilderness, in the desert, and bread came down from heaven, the Israelites were being taught by God to say in their minds, this bread feeds me. This bread gives me life. But one day, there will come the real bread. The real bread that will give me life forever. And then Jesus comes and he says to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and to the Jews, I am the bread of life. That thing that your parents ate in the wilderness, that pointed out to me. That was a symbol that represented me. And Jesus came, he was born, he descended from heaven, he is the real bread of life, lived the perfect life for us, obeyed perfectly God's law, died on the cross, and on the third day, he resurrected. So everyone who believes in him has eternal life. He indeed is this real manna. He indeed is the real bread. And he comes in the wilderness of this world. Therefore, when the Apostle Paul is saying that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and then he says, that we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes, what he is doing is doing the same that God was teaching to Israel. In other words, Christian and Christians with me, learn to see in both directions. When you eat the Lord's Supper, look to the past and see what the Lord has done for you. See what, see how Christ died. See how he is the life giver, and see with hope. And then, when you remember that, look to the future, because one day he will come. One day there will be no more tears. One day you will be enjoying a meal. And that supper that we will partake on Friday, Lord willing, is a little bit of show, a little bit of peace, a little taste of a bigger meat, a bigger feast that we will enjoy with the Lord in heaven. One day we will be seated at his table and we will be enjoying him forever. There will be no more tears, no more suffering. Therefore, we should look back to what Christ has done, forward to what Christ is about to do, consummation of all things. So the Lord's Supper is a visible spiritual sign of remembrance, of union with Christ and grace, and of hope. One day, we will be seated with him. Amen.